All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am giving you one more preview of tonight's Monday night football action between the Atlanta Falcons and the New York Giants.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, I'm going solo tonight. You know me as Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years at FalcFans.com. I'm on Twitter at FalcFans. And, of course, I'm the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. I'm going solo tonight today to give you one last preview of tonight's Monday Night Football just because, you know, having a primetime game on Monday night. But it was off the schedule a little bit, but it'll give us a little bit more time to build up to the game. And part of the issue is when we did our preview, our crossover episode on Wednesday, it was well before the practice week. So we've gotten some updates as to the Falcons' injury situation. As far as we know, the only player that's expected to miss this game that was questionable to miss this game, you know, obviously certain players like Devontae Freeman are going to miss this game. But Matt Bryant, the kicker, is the only player that's expected to be out. The Falcons did sign Giorgio Tavecchio to replace him last week, which was a move that was expected. We'll sort of see. We'll have to monitor sort of seeing how long Bryant is going to be out. But it doesn't seem like it's an injury that's going to go away immediately. But the bye week helps. But that does mean guys like Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu, Grady Jarrett, Derek Shelby, guys that the Falcons have had out a couple of games or were questionable coming out of last week's win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, are expected to suit up. We don't have a real indication of how healthy they are and how effective they will be tonight. And that's going to be something to keep an eye on and certainly something we'll touch upon and how important that is going to be to potentially helping the Falcons win the game. And part of that is due to the fact of matchups. And it's football is a game of matchups. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. You know this. One of the reasons why I tend to be a little bit less gung-ho or, you know, homeristic when it comes to the Falcons and their chances of winning each and every week is because you don't necessarily know how those matchups are going to go. And part of the reason, you know, not to start off things with my film snobbery, but part of the reason why I tend to be a film snob is I think the more you watch film, the more and you see like, oh, the matchups aren't always one-sided as you often like to believe that they are going to be. And so we'll have to see how various players handle some of these matchups tonight against the Giants. I'm cautiously optimistic in some of those instances. I'm prominently pessimistic in other instances, and we'll talk about some of those. But let's talk first about the offense and sort of some of the issues that the Falcons are going to have faced. I've been very gung-ho about sort of the Falcons' issues in the trenches this year. I think these have been issues that the Falcons have been dealing with for a number of years, but I think due to age and just whatever reasons, particularly the offensive line age and probably arguably lack of talent for the defensive line, these issues have been sort of exasperated this year more than previous years. And you don't have sort of the other strengths of the roster, particularly on defense in the back seven, that sort of can offset the fact that you weren't particularly good in the D-line. But we'll talk about the D-line later. Let's talk about the offensive line. And I'm curious to see how these guys handled the Giants matchup. I'm particularly curious to see how Jake Matthews goes against Olivier Vernon. I would not be shocked at all if this is the worst Jake Matthews performance of the season that we'll see, because I think Vernon is a guy that typically struggles against players like Vernon that both have speed and have the ability to convert speed to power. And it basically gives that guy two ways of beating Jake Matthews. And, you know, if you know a guy's only going to beat you in one specific way, which we've talked about quite a bit with Vic Beasley, it becomes much easier to defend that guy. But if you know he can go around you and go through you, you really don't really have as much recourse to sort of stop him. So my hope is that it will be similar to the Cincinnati game, who I thought Carl Lawson was going to destroy Jake Matthews. Carl Lawson did get the better of Jake Matthews on a number of times in that game, but I did come away from that game thinking that Jake Matthews played much better than I sort of thought he would going into that game. And my hope is that we'll come out of this Giants game with the similar opinion that, oh, Jake Matthews, you know, Vernon got him a couple of times, but I think Jake held his own for the most part better than I expected. Which we hope will be a continuing trend throughout 2018 and beyond with Jake, since we know he's going to be around for quite some time. The rest of the offensive line, we'll have to see. They haven't really done a whole lot to really inspire confidence from me so far this season, even though they don't necessarily face major, major matchups. You know, Damon Harrison is a dominant run defender. So, you know, I don't expect the Falcons to run the football up the middle anyway. So my hope is that his impact won't be as significant as it could be, just simply because I talked a lot of trash to people this spring about B.J. Hill. I do have a expectation that he'll show out tonight, just to sort of make me put my foot in my mouth about that. But I'll be curious to see how the offensive line handles this matchup, because I do think if the offensive line struggles in this game, as they have pretty consistently outside of that Carolina game this year and last week as well, it will sort of make this game a lot hairier than it probably should be, based off of some of the other matchups that tend to favor the Falcons. And so that is going to be my big question heading into this game. And I have some other questions about this offense that I will talk about in just a moment. As I often do, I want to remind you guys that the NBA season is back. And if you guys want to stay locked on your various NBA teams, you can do so with a Locked On podcast representing all 30 NBA teams. Check them out wherever you get your Locked On podcasts. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Now, if you listen to this podcast, you know I have a lot of answers to the questions that you guys have out there, but I don't have the answer to everything. And if you happen to do, particularly those questions that involve who's going to win each week, then you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to go to my bookie. Trust me, they're the best bet you'll make this year. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. Their mobile site is very easy to use. There's in-game live betting, over-under scores on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie has been slammed with new bettors recently, and they want to help you out by giving you a $25 free play if you deposit $100 or more after 7 p.m. Eastern. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate that offer. Go ahead, visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON25 to get an extra $25 after you deposit after 7 p.m. You play, you win, you get paid. Now, one of the other big matchups I'm curious to see, and this is related to the injuries that I discussed earlier with Ridley and Sanu, is going to be how Julio Jones handles himself. Because one of the big questions I have is Julio Jones going to have to do a lot of the heavy lifting tonight? Which, if he is, that can be a double-edged sword, as they say. Where it's like you think, oh, well, Julio can do this, and we've seen many a games where Julio takes over a game and dominates a game, and against a struggling Giants secondary with Janoris Jenkins not playing his best football and probably being asked to carry a heavy burden of containing Julio Jones one-on-one, that could play to the Falcons' favor. But it also is one of those things that we talked about quite a bit, which is makes the Falcons easy to defend. And I think one of the ways that I would explain that is if, you know, we've seen where Julio Jones goes up against a overmatched cornerback, an average cornerback who doesn't get a whole lot of help from his defensive coordinator and his scheme and safety help. And we've seen him put, you know, two bills or 300 yards against that guy. We're looking at Benwickery. And sort of that's sort of Julio Jones in his natural state. If you don't do enough as a defensive coordinator to contain Julio Jones, and Mike Smith can certainly attest to this, then he will wreck you. He can easily put up a ridiculous stat line. He can go for 15 catches, 300 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He is capable of doing that. But one of the things that teams are successfully able to do, and this is a way I would frame this, that I don't think a lot of people do frame it as, is that when you see Julio get sort of closer to his more typical stat line, which is, let's say, 6 catches for, you know, 80 yards and a touchdown or 0 touchdowns, that is a very effective way of containing Julio Jones. And I know when you look at those numbers at face value, you're like, oh, Julio Jones had a good game. And it's like, well, when you look at it from the context of what he would do in his quote unquote natural state, he did not have a good game. You know, going from 300 yards to 80 yards is like, you know, what, 70% reduction. Going from 15 catches to 6 catches is like a, you know, a 67% reduction. I'm doing the math in my head, so if I'm off, don't sue me. And, you know, going from three touchdowns to zero touchdowns or whatever it is, since we know Julio doesn't score touchdowns, so saying his normal stat line is one touchdown is ridiculous. You know, going from three touchdowns to zero touchdowns is, you know, mathematically, you know, whatever. But you know what I'm saying. And so I think one of the things that people don't realize is teams, if a team can basically say, okay, we reduce Julio Jones's effectiveness by bracketing and playing certain coverages by 70% or 67% or 60% or whatever the case may be from his natural state, that's a win. And I don't think a lot of fans appreciate, they just sort of look at Julio Jones putting up his six or seven catches for 80 or 90 yards and say, oh yeah, Julio Jones played really well. And it's like, well, from a certain perspective, yes, he did. But from another perspective, from a defensive perspective, it's like, well, Julio Jones played well, but he did not play nearly as well as he's capable of playing. And we'll take that as a win. And so part of the problem is when you rely on that, the Falcons, it's not to say that it's easy to stop the Falcons, but it becomes much easier to stop the Falcons. And when the Falcons become this sort of Julio-centric offense, and the whole point of me saying that is to illustrate the point that if you don't get contributions from Ridley and Sanu tonight because they're nicked up, they're playing, but there have been many times where players play and they're not expected, they're not really a big part of the game plan. They're just mostly a decoy out there to just basically run routes and hope that, you know, teams have to pay attention so that they don't, you know, basically Julio Jones has done that so many times in his career that people don't realize. And that's why when people say like, oh, Julio Jones has only missed X number of games over the last 3 or 4 years, the whole injury prone thing is a lie. It's like, no, it's not, because a lot of those games that Julio Jones has relatively quiet performances where it's instead of 6 for 90, it's like 4 catches for 52. It's oh, because he was hurt and he should have had more than that. I'm rambling a little bit, but the point is, if the Falcons can't spread the ball around, it becomes a little bit closer to a coin flip whether or not Julio Jones is going to have one of these monster games and carry the team, or is he going to have his quote unquote typical 6 catches for 90 yards sort of outing, which is good, but not necessarily what you want, especially if you're not getting contributions from the rest of your receiving core. If you're not getting 4 or 5 catches from Ridley, if you're not getting 4 or 5 catches from Sanu, if you're not getting 4 or 5 catches from Hooper, etc. So that to me is going to be a big question regarding the health of the Falcons against this Giants team. I think if those guys are healthy and are able to make plays, I don't necessarily expect them to dominate these games, but if they can sort of take the heavy lifting off of Julio Jones in the red zone on third downs on some of these money downs, and so Julio can just sort of do what he does best, well, not necessarily what he does best, but basically can sort of get the splash plays, the explosive plays, the 25-yard reception here, the 18-yard reception there to sort of move the ball and get chunk yardage. And then those other guys can be sort of their options in those sort of money downs when Julio Jones is getting the focus of the attention on third downs and in the red zone and still be able to allow the Falcons to move the chains and get points on the board. That's sort of what their value is. And that's what we mean when I say things like complementary receivers. They're not the guys that are making your offense go, but they can sort of fill in the cracks here and there. And that's sort of what we're hoping to see from Ridley and Sanu and those guys tonight. So that to me is a major question. The running game, we'll have to see. I'm not expecting much out of the running game just because we haven't seen much, but I know eventually they'll have a good performance here. You know, we haven't really seen that against since the Carolina game. They were better against Tampa Bay, but, you know, who knows if that's going to continue this week. The Giants, at least statistically, are a weaker, softer run defense than the Bucs are in a lot of ways. So the Falcons could have success. But again, that's one of those matchups that sitting here today, I can't necessarily tell you with confidence that the Falcons will be able to overcome. And those are the main topics, the main areas of concern and questioning I have for the Falcons offense in tonight's matchup. It's going to be how much of the heavy lifting is Julio going to have to do? Hopefully, you know, the less that is, the better. And how much can the offensive line sort of hold up against this Giants D-line? Because I think if they can't necessarily hold up against this Giants D-line, against some of these defensive lines that we're going to face in the second half of the season after the bye week, things are going to get a lot more problematic for the Falcons. The other issue I have is, you know, so far this season, the Falcons' offense at home has been very effective, 4 for 4 so far. I don't think we're going to see a season where they end up going 8 for 8. So at least one of these games coming up, whether it's tonight or in a future game after the bye week, they're going to have a hiccup. And one of the questions I have is, you know, is having the prime time late start, you know, that whole thing going to be contributing to the fact that they may get off to a slower start than we're sort of used to them doing so far at home this season? I don't know. I'm hoping not. I'm not necessarily betting on it, but if maybe someone by the name of Kendall claimed to be from the future and travel back to the past to tell me that the Falcons sort of struggled at the outset of this game and got behind against the Giants like 10-3 or whatever, or 17-7 or something like that, it wouldn't totally shock me for those various reasons. So we'll have to sort of wait and see if they can avoid sort of that early sluggish start, because I think that will certainly play to their disadvantage with some of the matchups that we're going to see on defense, and I'll talk about those in a moment. Now, is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors they hear on their podcast. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and earning more than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast right now by emailing me at lockedonfalcons@mail.com to get more information. Now, defensively, you look at this team and some of the matchups, and part of the reason, you know, defensively, I sort of roll my eyes when you look at this Falcons team, simply because, you know, this goes back to something I was talking about last year when the team was healthy, and now these things have sort of been exasperated by the fact that they had a lot of injuries this year. But one of the complaints, common complaints I had about the Falcons, particularly in the early portion of 2017, was they don't really do a good job of stopping teams from doing the things that they want to do. And that's not the hallmark of a good defense. And that's one of the reasons why going into this season, even before the injuries hit, that I was a little bit more skeptical of sort of the defensive rise to the pinnacle, to the mountaintop, or whatever you want to call it, that I think other people were sort of hyping up going into this upcoming season. And obviously that has become even more problematic now that they've had several injuries. And so the issue is going to be, will they be able to stop the Giants from doing the things that they want to do? And obviously the first thing that the Giants are going to want to do is they want to run the football. Eli is not having a great season, and so they're going to want to take pressure off of Eli by being able to move the ball successfully on early downs by running the football with Saquon Barkley and getting to some third and manageables where Eli can have a lot of success. And so far this season, the Falcons' defense has not really shown any indication that they can stop any team from running the football to the level of effectiveness that they want to. Fortunately for the Falcons, their offense has been able to get off to some good starts in some of these games, and sort of that has done more to take the running game out of the equation against this defense than necessarily anything the defense was doing. So we'll have to sort of see, and that's part of the reason why if they get off to a slow start tonight, that's not necessarily playing to their strengths, because then you're going to have Saquon running buck wild on them. And the problem is, if you told me, you know, again, if you were a time traveler or claimed to be a time traveler, and you told me that, say, you know, the Giants run for 200 yards in this game, I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be like, yeah, you know, Saquon probably broke a couple of big chunk yardage. And, you know, you break three or four 30-plus yard gains, all of a sudden 200 is a pretty achievable benchmark to hit after that point. So that is going to be a concern for me. Obviously, the Giants are going to want to get the balls into the hands of the playmakers, guys like Odell Beckham, guys like Evan Ingram, guys like Sterling Shepard, etc. In the passing game, I think the one area of the Falcons' defense, and one of the reasons why I was so bullish on the Falcons' secondary going into the season, is that's the one area where I feel like the Falcons' defense have consistently been able to step up to the plate and slow down teams, with some exceptions. Basically against the non-elite receivers, if you're not a top 7 or 8 receiver, they generally can sort of keep your guys in check. And, you know, Odell Beckham is widely considered to be a top 7 or 8 receiver, so that is going to be a question mark for tonight's game. But with guys like Ingram, with guys like Shepard, those guys are also really good. The positive is that Ingram isn't necessarily 100% at this point, so maybe he won't be as good as he could be. But that is not a favorable matchup for Devondre Campbell and company. And that's where you miss a guy like Keanu Neal. Traditionally, that type of tight end has been very problematic for Campbell, but his play has improved this year, so I'm a little bit more optimistic that he'll be able to hold his own this week than I would probably be, you know, certainly a month ago if you had asked me about this matchup. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, I'm a little bit more optimistic that the Falcons can sort of keep those guys in check. They're going to get theirs. But, again, it goes back to what I said with the Falcons offense is going to be about those money down situations. It's going to be third down. It's going to be in the red zone. Can they keep those guys contained in those situations more so than necessarily shutting them down throughout the entire game? The third thing is going to be Saquon Barkley and his ability in the passing game, because what ends up happening is if they can't get the ball into the hands of their outside playmakers, the guys like Odell, Shepard, and Ingram, then they're going to settle for a lot of checkdowns. And the problem with the Falcons defense is that has been arguably more problematic than getting the ball to their number one receivers this year, just because of the poor tackling, just because of the questionable play up front. And we'll sort of have to see, you know, I mentioned last week, you know, this is sort of like the last hurrah of Duke Riley. We saw a reduction in his snaps against Tampa Bay. We'll be curious to see if we can see a continued reduction in his snaps this week against the Giants. But, you know, at this point in time, you know, check down, you know, we saw this against Pittsburgh where, you know, James Conner's converting third and 13s on simple screen passes in 28-yard gains. And the problem with this defense right now is, there's really no reason to be confident that if the Giants just run simple screens and simple checkdowns to Saquon Barkley, you know, a 6-yard pass doesn't turn into it, you know, pretty commonly turns into a 15-yard gain or a 22-yard gain or more, you know, 56-yard gain or whatever the case may be. And so that's going to be potentially very problematic for the Falcons if they can't stop those type of simple plays. And they haven't really done a good job of doing that this year. You know, there have been moments, you know, there's been stretches of games where they have done that. And I think those stretches of games have coincided with the defensive line being a much better job at pressuring the quarterback and controlling the line of scrimmage, filling their gaps and doing all those types of things. Because as we've discussed, the linebackers haven't been great. You don't have that sort of Keanu Neal presence that I think, again, has been underestimated by a lot of Falcon fans. Is Keanu Neal did a lot more to sort of clean up the mistakes of Deion Jones and Devondre Campbell than I think people realize in previous years. And so you don't have sort of that guy that can sort of clean up things on the back end, playing down in the box and basically functioning as arguably, as I said, I've said many times on this podcast, if you've been listening over the last year plus, that Keanu Neal is the Falcons' best linebacker. In reality, in terms of doing the things that you want a linebacker to do. So that has been a major issue for the Falcons this season. I don't expect that to change against the Giants. Basically, at this point in time, you're just hoping that the Giants' problems are so big that they can't even overcome them against a team like the Falcons, where they should be able to overcome them. And, you know, one of the jokes that we say, but it's only a joke because we have to laugh at it to hide our pain. But, you know, when you're in a slump and you play the Falcons, you're going to typically break that slump. And the Giants are a perfect team that seem like they are poised to do that. And we saw that a little bit with Tampa Bay last week. We saw that against Pittsburgh the week before. And I don't necessarily expect that to change against the Giants. But if it does, then great for the Falcons. But it's one of those things where, again, you go into these games wondering about some of these matchups and wondering how the outcomes will be, but I don't necessarily have as favorable an outcome when it comes to the Falcons defense slowing down this Giants offense. I'm just hoping that Eli is so bad and the Giants offensive line is so bad. And again, it goes back to what I said with the defensive line being able to take over games for stretches of time. You haven't seen it for two quarters, let alone four quarters. But if we can get a quarter here or there, a quarter and a half here or there, where the defensive line is really able to control the line of scrimmage, and then on top of that, that's a quarter and a half when the offense is clicking, then I think the Falcons should have a pretty good, I won't say no problem winning this game, because they'll go up like 27-10 and then they'll let the Giants back into the game and it'll be like they'll finally win the game like 30-27 or something like that, because that's what the Falcons do. But it should be a game where they can at least control a large portion of the game, which will at least mitigate some of our stress levels that the Falcons tend to exacerbate, I think is the word, over these years. So those are my thoughts on tonight's matchup. I'm eager to see what happens. You know, all these games, the way I see them is not necessarily like, oh, look how amazing the Falcons are, and it's a testament how great this team is. But it's more like, here are the questions I have. Typically, over the last couple of years, it's been questions like, okay, if they answer these questions, then we can get to the postseason and be like, okay, well, in 14 games this year, they were able to do this. In 12 games, they were able to do this. In 8 games, they were able to do this. And so that sort of, you know, 8 out of 16 is 50% of the time, you know, 12 out of 16, you know. And you can do the math on it and say, like, okay, we get to the playoffs when we face this type of matchup. We can look back and say, you know, 50% of the time or 75% of the time they were able to successfully overcome that or not successfully overcome that. And so that's going to tell us whether or not they're going to potentially overcome that matchup in the playoffs, at least, or at least point us in the right direction. Obviously, as I've said a number of times over the last couple of episodes, is I'm not necessarily putting that playoff expectation on them. I'm still, you know, the door is slightly cracked for them to make the playoffs, but they're going to have to start to rattling off some wins. They're probably going to have to win tonight's game as well as the next two for me to start to feel really good about them legitimately being a playoff contender at that point. But, you know, don't want to get ahead of ourselves because they got to win tonight. And even though this Giants team is one of the weaker teams I think they'll face the rest of the year, this is a team that could still very easily beat this Falcon team. And I think every game from here on out, the Falcons are a very beatable team. As we've seen, it wouldn't be 2-4 if they weren't. So it's going to answer a lot of questions. It's going to, you know, make us so that next time we're talking about matchups against Cleveland or Washington, I can't remember who we play coming out of, but I think it's Cleveland. Then we can be like, oh, well, you know, they did this against the Giants and they did this against the Bucks and all these sorts of things. So we can be a little bit more confident in these matchups that they'll be able to take care of business. So that's how sort of I view them. I obviously think that's how you guys should view them as well. But it's a work in progress and we'll see how things go. I'm looking forward to this primetime game. I'm not looking forward to being up late in the morning recording my rapid reaction, which you can expect tomorrow morning. And then we'll follow that up with another recap on Wednesday. We won't have to do a crossover this week. And then I forgot what else I had planned for the bye week, but I got some other things planned. But certainly, I'm sure we will do a Q&A at least at some point in the next 2 weeks before we have to prepare for another game. So if you guys have any questions, comments, suggestions, or whatever you want to say to me, provide any feedback that you wish, you can do so on Twitter. I'm at FalFans. The show's Twitter handle is at Locked On Falcons. That's the best way of sending your podcast-related tweets. If you prefer Facebook, Locked On Falcons is the name of the page there. You can send an email, lockedonfalcons@mail.com. And, of course, you can leave a comment at falfans.com where the podcast is posted daily. So until then, guys, appreciate you tuning in, Jerry.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.